I'm Dan Clawson, and this is the Zealous Podcast, where everything we do is to inspire and equip the body of Christ for the comprehensive discipleship of the next generations. In my role as the Director of Ministry Expansion, I have the joy of serving the local body of Christ into what I just described, the comprehensive discipleship of the next generations. As a ministry, we recently held a discussion with church leaders from throughout the U.S., specifically addressing the topics of child dedication and youth baptisms. This discussion was guided by our founder and executive director, David Michael, based on his over 17 years of shepherding ministry at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minnesota, 5 years at College Park Church in Indiana, and most importantly, the Word of God. We thought the conversation was so fruitful, we wanted to share it with you, our podcast listeners and family. It's our hope that you are both encouraged and challenged to approach these opportunities, child dedication and youth baptisms, from a biblical, God-centered, and possibly slightly more intentional approach, all for the glory of our great and reigning King. Thank you for joining this important discussion. Let's drop into it now together.
I'm really excited about this Church Leader's Guide to Child Dedication and Youth Baptism being released this week. And we want to sort of provide some context for that. Why put these together in terms of a guide? And there's a couple reasons. One, almost every Christian church already has a milestone event that we would call baptism. It's an ordinance, one of the two ordinances in the church that we're charged to maintain. And so almost every church has a baptism service. Many churches do something at the birth of a child. We have been calling them dedication services. Churches may call them something else, but typically within the tradition of a church, there's a dedication thing and a youth baptism thing. And one of the reasons for doing this is there's great potential to leverage these two milestone events for the advancement of the vision for the next generation. These were central events in my ministry, both at Bethlehem and at College Park. So the reason for putting them together is that I want to serve you as leaders in providing strategies, tools for you to maximize the impact that these can have on children, families, and the church. So that's one reason. The other reason for putting them together is that dedication, if it's done thoughtfully, is an expression of our hope for our children. Youth baptism, if we're doing it carefully, is that hope being realized. It's not necessarily, for sure, the fulfillment of our hopes at dedication, but it's the beginning indicators that, wow, God is answering those prayers, and I'm witnessing my child taking this step of faith. Or another way to put it, in the dedication format that I'm suggesting here, children are dedicated in hope that that child will trust Jesus alone for the forgiveness of their sins and will belong wholly to Jesus Christ forever. That's part of the liturgy or the form that we use, that we pronounce over the children. And you move forward to the baptism service, and even the same language now formed in a question that we ask the child: are you now trusting in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins and the fulfillment of their promises, even eternal life? So dedication, oh God, grant that this child trusts in you alone for the forgiveness of your sins. Baptism, that child now out of their own mouth is saying, I am trusting Jesus Christ alone. So the merging of those two pivotal events into a strategy for you to have as leaders, as you think about those two events, we want to kind of help encourage the thinking of them together for the advancement of our vision for the next generation.
Yeah, and I've been encouraged, David, just thinking about my life and ministry and those on the screen that you've had now the joy of going through that with several families with the second generation then of having
dedicated, and then baptized. And now they're having children and dedicating, and we pray being baptized. So before we get into the actual dedication service itself, which one of the things I'm very thankful for what you write, it's not only obviously biblically sound, theologically where it needs to be, it's very highly applicational. But before we get into the how of how you see people walking through a dedication service, can you help us maybe understand and unpack some of why we should even consider being purposeful about dedication services and doing one?
Sure. Yeah. So first to recognize that dedication, unlike baptism, is more optional for the church. Mm-hmm. And some churches have decided in principle they will not do child dedication services. Other churches do them, but in principle do not incorporate them into the larger worship gathering of the church. They're done off the side. Some do them, but they lack substance, meaning, significance of the congregation, and even the parents themselves are, okay, why are we doing this? And this seems a little fuzzy. That's the group that I'm trying to serve here the most. I know some of you already have a fairly well established, substantial child dedication service and don't feel any need to change or adjust. But if there's anything from this by way of protocol or just rhythm or these key elements, I hope it's useful to you. So I do argue in the book, there are good biblical reasons for doing a child dedication service as part of the main gathering of the church, even though the Bible does not mandate that you do a dedication service. So I can't make a biblical case that, like I could for baptism, for why it belongs in the church. But good biblical reasons, like worshiping the person-forming work of God. This is just, you're holding in your hands this absolute miracle. And to call the church to worship this creative God and remind them of what he's doing again and again in the life of the church is truly amazing. But I outline in the book, just if you need reasons for doing this, I hope to serve you in that way. The reason why I prioritize this is because I think the dedication service reinforces the vision that I was trying to promote for the next generation. And it lays the foundational convictions that defined my ministry to children, youth, and parents. And so this provided a way. So the two larger churches that I serve, we were doing dedication services four times a year. So four times a year, parents and the church as a whole get reminded of our vision. Another key factor for me is, in if you've read Zealous or some of our other stuff, we value the church and the home in partnership for the discipleship of the next generation. And this method of child dedication promotes that partnership and it reinforces. And I think the benefit and the impact on the congregation as a whole, if you're doing this in the large congregation, I think the impact, if we do it properly, is significant for the whole church as well as for the parents.
Well, I don't think we can argue against the why. So a lot of head nodding, but so much of what I think the value is for us gathering is just encouraging us and reminding ourselves of those things. So if that's the why, do you mind sharing us, walking us through maybe some what you would consider more crucial elements from your experience and kind of this more purposed service now that you've created and this leader's guide really unpacks? What are some crucial elements that you think we should all consider?
Yeah, so I like the way you said that. What I'm giving you are what became crucial elements for the dedication services that I led. So one of the first steps you have to do is decide for you and for your church, what are the crucial elements that we want to build into the dedication service? So this is not, okay, you got to do it the way David Michael does it, but I'm laying these things out there that will hopefully, if you have a dedication service right now that you think could stand some improvement or growth or development, some of the things I'm sharing can help. But you really do need to think through, okay, what are critical elements for this dedication service that we have? And then another key portion, whether you're revamping your dedication service or introducing it from the beginning, it's really important to build or bring leadership into this. In the book, I've identified a number of pastoral issues that you and the leadership, the other leadership of the church, have to work through. And it's a way to involve elders and other pastors into this process. But for example, are you going to allow parents who are not members of your church to dedicate their children? What about one spouse not being a believer or unbelievers wanting to dedicate their children? How are you going to handle that? So there's a number of pastoral issues that as you get going or as you develop this need to get worked through. You want your leadership on board with, okay, here's our process. Here's what we're going to be expecting of parents. Here's what we're expecting of the congregation. Here's what we're expecting of other leaders. Here's the format that we want to follow. All of that, you want to try to bring leaders alongside of you. In the baptism, I would say the same thing for baptism preparation. And in the back section of the baptism portion of this booklet, I actually put the proposal that I brought to College Park elders before I launched the approach to preparing young people for baptism at College Park. I did something similar for dedication. That's not in the booklet, but you'll be hearing more about a resource page, Child Dedication and Youth Baptism Resources, where we're going to just continue to upload practical things. Like if you want to know what David did when he presented the dedication process to College Park elders, you'll see an outline of what I presented. And we hope that that will be continually influenced. But the point there is clarify the key elements, clarify the process in preparing parents, and then bringing leadership on board with whatever you do. So then before we talk about kind of what the process is that we develop, just know that the heart of the dedication is the promises that parents are making, okay? The ones that we recommend in the book, or at least show as by way of illustration, these five promises were originally crafted by John Piper back in 1981. So they've been to this day at Bethlehem part of the congregational experience and parental experience when they dedicate their children. Those promises are super important. So the promises, if you don't use the ones we're suggesting, the ones that you craft need to be sort of comprehensive in that they represent what parents should commit themselves to or are entrusted with a child. So comprehensive, there needs to be biblical depth and substance to them, which is characteristic of everything that John Piper does, right? So I inherited some very solid, thoughtful questions. One feature is that they need to be memorable and repeatable. So for over 40 years now, Bethlehem, four times a year, has been hearing these same promises. And many of them, when you hear that, you can repeat them. So surrendering worldly claim on their life in the hope that they will belong wholly to Jesus Christ forever. I've said surrendering worldly claim, if I say it to either now College Park or Bethlehem, everybody knows what that reference is. It's part of the language of the church, so that when a parent is struggling with the emptiness and seeing their child moving to Nigeria with your grandchildren, you can remind them, I was there when you promised that I surrender worldly claim on this child's life in the hope that they will belong wholly to Jesus Christ. So to build it into the fabric of the life of the church, and that's why using the same exact words time and time again does that. The other thing that was really precious for me at Bethlehem was I was leading parents through the dedication process who I remember themselves being dedicated 25 years before. And there's something about this rhythm just this repeatable language that is used, that there's something that connects the generations. It was a very precious time for me when my daughter, Amy, who Sally and I dedicated in 1982, we stood up, we made those promises before the congregation. And in a heartbeat, it seemed, in the blink of an eye, I was standing before my daughter and her husband, holding our first grandchild, making those same exact promises. And so I commend them to you for memorable, repeatable, and I would just say timeless. You can use hip language that might be more meaningful to your church today, but could not make any sense in 10 years from now. So one of the things I love about these particular promises is they really have been timeless. They're as relevant today to parents as they were. So give thought to those. If you don't have any that you're already working with, I commend these to you, but make it your own as a church. If you use the promises I've suggested, that's going to be most compatible with some of the tools that we give you to use, but that's really the center of the dedication process.
Thank you again for dropping in with us for this important conversation surrounding child dedication and youth baptism. We have resources prepared for you on our website, and the link for those are in the show notes for this podcast, or you can always find them by searching our website, which is truth78.org, with the terms child dedication. As always, we're here to serve you, so don't hesitate to contact us, which you can do by emailing us at info@truth78.org. That's info@truth78.org. Now, may the Lord grant us to be zealous together, that the next generations may know, honor, and treasure God, setting their hope in Christ alone, so that they will live as faithful disciples for the glory of God.